This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai. Today we have a very interesting subject. Welcome everyone to the Shir. And Parshas Re'eh. We have a very gripping, intriguing Shaila that will capture your attention. And this question was raised by none other than the Noi de Bihuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, the great Noi de Bihuda. Okay, so here it goes. We know that there is a interesting concept from the Roikeach, Rabbi Elezer of Garmaiza. It's interesting. You know, on Tishba we talk about the region called the Vermaiza, worms. But later on in history, originally in history, it was called Garmaiza, and then it became known as Vermaiza. So what happened to this region? Why was the name switched from Garmaiza to Vermaiza? And the reason is because historically, the Chidah writes in his diary in the Magal Toiv, that legend has it that there was in the region of Garmaiza, there was a big dragon. And what did the dragon eat for dinner? The dragon ate a Jew. The dragon was not satisfied until it ate a Jew. Jews are very tasty. And the dragon would eat a Jew, and that was his supper. And a day, in other words, if the dragon did not eat a Jew, it would wreak havoc. And finally, one particular Yid said, enough is enough. And he agreed to be fed to the dragon that day. And he brought a sword with him. And from within, he tore the innards of the dragon. And from then on, Garmaiza became known as Vermaiza, after the worm and the dragon. Okay, so the Rishonim of Germany had a very strict system of what is called Tshuvas HaMishkal. Tshuvas HaMishkal is that even though the basic tshuva is charata, regret, vidoy, confession, azivas hachet, stopping to sin, kabbalah ala osid, accepting upon ourselves not to sin again, these are the main components of tshuva. However, there's something called tshuvas hamishkol, and that is the early Rishonim had a program really to cleanse yourself fully from a sin. It would be necessary to sort of afflict oneself and pain oneself commensurate to the benefit that you got from the Avera. And so they would recommend, for instance, if somebody spoke one word of Lashon Hara, to fast for 40 days, and if you are shatnez, to fast for 80 days, and for some things to roll around in the snow, and you're rolling around in the snow, you're not wearing, you know, a ski cap and a warm fur coat. We're talking about rolling around in the snow, Aram, okay? That's what it means, rolling in the snow. And they would advise sometimes if somebody did an Avera to undress and then stand next to a beehive and various other painful practices to really wipe out sin. And the Noi de Bihuda is discussing, well, what is the primary ingredients in tshuva? Is it that confession, stopping to sin, kabbalah ala asid, and regret, charata, or no? The main ingredients of tshuva are fasting and affliction and so on and so forth. So Noi de Bihuda says there's no question that the primary ingredients of repentance are regret, forsaking sin, accepting upon oneself not to do it again, and vidoy. And all the other things, all the other afflictions that used to be done by the early tzaddikim are all like, you know, cherry on top, icing on top, but they're not critical for the procedure of tshuva. Now, says the Noi de Bihuda, the proof that the essential ingredients of tshuva are confession, regret, azivas hachet, and accepting for the future is the Noi de Bihuda asks such an intriguing question, a very gripping question. And the question is as follows. We all know tshuva is very effective. We believe nothing stands in the face of tshuva. There's no sin that is too severe that a person cannot do tshuva for. Even though sometimes there are certain expressions found in the Zohar that there is one particular sin that's so severe you can never do tshuva, wasting seed. But even that sin, the tradition has it, and all the great rabbis explained that, in fact, you could repent for any sin. There's nothing beyond repair. There's no sin that is so severe that cannot be corrected. And that's the principle of Jewish faith. And that is, Ein davar ha'oimed b'fnei ha'tshuva. Even if someone is liable to a death penalty or to very severe kares chas v'shalom, you could repent, you could do tshuva, and then as we know and we've learned many times, if you do tshuva me'ahava, I don't think I want this computer to update right now. If you do tshuva me'ahava, so your averos will turn into mitzvahs, right? So in other words, you could do the worst aver in the world, but if you do tshuva, it will actually turn into a mitzvah. So therefore, the Nevi Yehuda asked the following question. Let's say the temple was standing, and there was a great Sanhedrin, and somebody was warned, hey pal, don't desecrate the Shabbos, don't drive on Shabbos. And he was warned about with two witnesses, and the two witnesses say, if you're going to desecrate the Shabbos, if you're going to turn on the light on Shabbos, if you're going to smoke on Shabbos, then we're going to try you in capital court, in supreme Sanhedrin. And the guy says, so be it, and he desecrates the Shabbos, and we carry him off to the Beis Din, and Beis Din is about to deliberate on his case, and we know that a Sabbath desecrator, if he was warned before, his punishment is skila. So that means we're going to hurl him off a two-floor building and stone him to death. By the way, that's not a pleasant way to go. That's really not a very comfortable way to leave this world. And the guy, as he's about to be pushed off the building, he says, wait! So the rabbi in the long white beard says, what do you mean, wait? We have witnesses that you desecrated the Shabbos and you were warned. He said, that's true. And he says, vidoy. And the rabbi said, but you don't go, no, I feel terrible. I'm never going to do it again. And this is the last time I sin. So the guy right in front of us does tshuva. So he should be able to save his skin. After all, there's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. So the rabbi said, yeah, but you still shouldn't have done that. No, I'm doing tshuva out of love. Don't you know the Gemara in Yuma, according to Reish Lakish, if you do tshuva out of love, the avera turns into a mitzvah. So can a person get out and excuse himself from capital punishment by doing tshuva? I mean, wouldn't this be great? What is the halacha? What would happen if somebody was about to be given capital punishment, says, I did tshuva. Says the Noid B'Yehuda, he says, "V'hadavar yipla kivan shavadai tshuva hoila ukfar sar avoyne v'chatosin eskapra lama yumas v'naki v'tzadik al taro iksev." Why should we administer punishment, a capital punishment? Why would that be? So you say, maybe we don't. No, it says explicitly in the Gemara. Chayave misa is also tshuva. Ein bezin moichlin lai. Someone who's chayav misa, if he does tshuva, bezin does not forgive him. So the Noid Rehuda wants to know, since there is no doubt that if there was a Sanhedrin, if somebody violated Misas Beis Din with Hasra, what would the halacha be like this? A guy when he was 20 years old violated Shabbos, and then the Edom said, look, we don't have time to convict you right now. We want to go on a business trip. We were going to go to Alaska. You know, Alaska still opened up. So they go to Alaska, they go fishing for salmon, and they go swim with the grizzly bears. I don't know what else you do over there. And 60 years later, they come back, and the guy who, the Sabbath violator, is 80 years old, and they say, oh yeah, we forgot about him. And they go to Beis Din, and they testify about him. What's Beis Din going to do to the guy? Now, meanwhile, the guy has been sitting in shul, crying and wailing and doing tshuva for 60 years. What do we do to the guy? We carry the guy out, and we kill him. Why, asked the Noid Rehuda, why should we kill somebody? What happened to tshuva? I mean, what? We don't believe tshuva works, so what are we doing on Yom Kippur? So the Noid Rehuda gives a very interesting answer. This is found midway through the piece. This is Shas Tshuvas Noid Rehuda, Arachayim Simen Lamed Hei, Madura Kama. Vadai Gzeros HaKosavu. It is a heavenly decree that even though someone does tshuva, we still have to administer capital punishment to them. Otherwise, Beis Din could never administer capital punishment. When would Beis Din ever be able to kill somebody? Because everybody will say, I sinned, but I did tshuva. And we know God wants to be able to administer punishment because it says in the Torah, if somebody violates certain sins and they're witnesses, we have to kill him. So obviously God thinks it's an important part of society to have, let's say, police. Police are a very important part of society. How do I know? Because if the liberals want to defund the police, obviously police are very important. That's why next week's parsha is the parsha, the police parsha. Shoitrim, Shoiftim v'shoitrim. You have to have judges and you have to have policemen. And you know what else is part of society? Judges are part of society. And you know what else is part of it? God wants there to be capital punishment. He wrote in the Torah that if certain sins there are stoning, and thus other sins there's burning, and other sins there's choking, and other sins there's a sword. So if God wants this to be administered, clearly you can't do tshuva, because if you could do tshuva, then every guy who's going to sin, as soon as he's being offered capital punishment, he says, sorry, I did tshuva. Now, this is the Noi Dibihuda's question. Again, the question is, why does tshuva not help to save someone from capital punishment? And the answer is, it can't help. It must be a heavenly decree that capital punishment is given despite the fact that someone does tshuva. Otherwise, everyone will just say that they did tshuva. Now, says the Noi Dibihuda, clearly then, the ikar tshuva is regret, stopping to sin, accepting on yourself not to do it again, and confession. Because if the main tshuva is what is called tshuvas hamishkal again is like fasting and afflicting yourself commensurate to the sin, then maybe, technically, if somebody does an effective tshuvas hamishkal, they should be able to get off capital punishment. Aye, but then Bezin would never be able to give capital punishment? Sure they would. In a situation where the guy cannot pull off the tshuvas hamishkal, the very strict penitence that is ordained by the Reikach. Because if the main tshuva, if the primary tshuva is sort of afflicting yourself commensurate to the sin, then you could be sure that when Moses came down from Sinai, God told Moses, look Moses, if somebody wears shanis, they have to fast X number of days. And if somebody speaks Lashon Hara, they have to roll in the snow. And if somebody commits adultery, they have to undress and stand in front of beehives. Now, if the main tshuva is tshuvas hamishkal, then maybe tshuvas hamishkal would be effective to get off capital punishment. So then you'll ask, so when would capital punishment ever be administered? When a guy fails at doing the tshuvas hamishkal. The guy is not able to handle standing in front of a beehive or fasting for 40 days or afflicting himself by rolling in the snow in Aram. So says the Noi Dibihuda, the fact that we know that tshuva cannot be effective in the face of capital punishments means the main tshuva is in your heart. And since that's the main tshuva, that tshuva can never get rid of capital punishment, because otherwise there would never be capital punishment. Meaning Noi Dibihuda is proving from the fact that there is capital punishment and tshuva cannot be effective against it, that it must be the main tshuva is what? What is known as charata, aziva sachet, kabbalah ala asad, and vidui. Then says the Noi Dibihuda, maybe really I'll tell you that the main tshuva is the tshuvas hamishkal, and afflicting yourself commensurate to the sin. And you'll ask, well, maybe still, that would cause all capital punishment to be abolished, because let's think for a moment. We know that in order to administer capital punishment, you have to warn somebody. Now, we know that in order to give a warning, it has to be hasra'as vadai, not hasra'as safik. You have to tell somebody, hey, pal, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to be killed. But if you say, pal, if you do X, Y, and Z, maybe you're going to be killed, that's not a valid warning. So says the Noi Dibihuda, maybe really the main tshuva is tshuvas hamishkal. But if so, don't try to prove. In other words, the whole flow of the Noi Dibihuda is, it must be the ikar tshuva is in your heart. The proof being, because otherwise, how would you ever have Misas Bezdin, everyone would just do tshuva. So Noi Dibihuda says, no, maybe really the main tshuva is tshuvas hamishkal. But that would also disturb all capital punishment, because nobody would ever be able to give a valid definitive warning, because the person might do tshuvas hamishkal. It's possible he'll do tshuvas hamishkal. So maybe even tshuvas hamishkal would be a disturbance to all Misas Bezdin. So to that, the Noi D'Behuda says it's not true, because even if somebody does do Tshuvas HaMishkal, the Edim could still warn someone definitively, because they could say, don't do this, because if you do it, and we bring you to Bezdin before you do Tshuva, we're going to kill you. And furthermore, the Noi D'Behuda says, we Paskin, you don't need to give Hasras Vadai. Even Hasras Safek is sufficient. So the bottom line is, the Noi D'Behuda proves that the main tshuva is regret, confession, leaving the sin and accepting not to do it again. And the proof is, because why, how do we ever give capital punishment? Why can't you just do tshuva? It must be that there's a gzeiras hakasov that despite tshuva, we still give capital punishment. So just for clarity's sake, the question we're dealing with tonight is, since we know tshuva could take care of anything, why can't you do tshuva to save yourself from capital punishment? The answer is, it's a gzeiras hakasov, it's a chayk. The same way God gave the mitzvah of paraduma, and he gave a mitzvah of shatnas, he said, even if someone does tshuva, if he's liable to capital punishment, you have to administer it anyway. Because if tshuva would take care of it, there would be no such thing as capital punishment. Okay, that is answer number one. What's very interesting is, we're going to feature tonight a sefer of the Chida, I don't think we ever featured before. Okay, I don't know who's that. Who's listening? I see some regulars. You'll tell me whether I've ever quoted this sefer of the Chida before. I don't believe I have. This is a Lamdasha sefer of the Chida. This is the Chida's encyclopedia on Lamdasha concepts. It's called Ein Zoicher, and the Chida quotes the question. We have a tradition that nothing stands in the face of tshuva. And we find that tshuva is effective, and it's mechaper, and it saves. So how could tshuva not save from malchus, and from nidoy, and from misa, right? We know that there's certain averos a person could do, that he's chayev chayrem, or he's chayev malchus. So as the Bezdin says, get down on all four, we're about to give you lashes. The guy says, no. Well, what did I do wrong? Yeah, you wore shanis, you wore Hugo Boss, you forgot to check it with the shanis laboratory. Oh, okay, God, I sinned against you. I won't do it again. I feel bad. Now, ha, 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 you can't get me. That's the question of the Chida. The same question as the Noi D'Behuda. And I believe, I think, and you'll help me out, the Chida is giving a similar answer to the Noi D'Behuda with a little bit of a discrepancy. And the Chida says as follows. Says the Holy Chida, Zu Tshuva L'Tshuva. This is the answer. It's like a play on words. Zu tshuva, this is the response. Le tshuva, why tshuva doesn't save you from Misas Bezdin and from Malkus and from Cherem? You know why? What's tshuva? Says the Chida. Here you have a guy. Hagam haloim yochav ka'an. Let's say you see a guy in the shul and he's davening Shemoneh Esrei. He's like, he's completely bent over. And he's wailing and he's crying. Does that mean he's Baal Tshuva and he's righteous? You know why he's crying? Because he thought the Yankees would go undefeated this year. And it turns out, they already lost 6 games. So he's mamish, he's Bitsar Gomor, he's Ba'avelos. Why is the guy crying? I don't know why, you know. He's crying because he's worried about November, the elections. So, no, but he's really crying. He says he's crying about his averos. Maybe he's lying. Or you have somebody who's fasting all day. Big deal. Maybe he's just trying to lose weight. You know, so the fact that somebody is displaying the outward signs of tshuva doesn't mean he's doing tshuva. What is real tshuva? Genuine charet, genuine regret, genuine charata. Feelings of remorse for his sin, feelings of Yirah Shamayim, feelings of love of God. That's genuine tshuva. Just because somebody claps his, maybe he's doing, he's exercising his right arm, and he's trying to build up his muscles. Who says that he's doing tshuva? So therefore, since tshuva is totally dependent on what's going on in someone's heart, can Bezdin have any clue whatsoever if somebody did tshuva? Is there any way for Bezdin to look at somebody and say, oh, this guy is clearly doing tshuva. Why? Because he's davening a 3-hour long Shemoneh Esrei? That's not what he's doing. He's davening a 3-hour Shemoneh Esrei because he's exercising his knees. So since tshuva is beyond the purview of Bezdin, Bezdin has absolutely no idea if someone's doing tshuva, it is impossible for Bezdin to creep into the subconscious and the inner recesses of anyone's heart or anyone's mind or anyone's soul and see if they're doing tshuva. And therefore it is totally illogical that God would say that if someone's obligated of capital punishment, a guy could come and say, oh, I did tshuva. I mean, this is not something that's given over to Bezdin. Says the Chida in the second paragraph. He says, "V'hatam borer the kivan the ikar ha'tshuva who believes, since the main tshuva is in the heart, sheyaker b'chatasai, v'toykef avoynoi the avar amemra drachmana." The main tshuva is to recognize your sin and the severity of the avera, and to be embarrassed and to have regret, and to make up that you'll never do it again. And this is all out of love of God and fear of God. Bezdin has no idea. The guy could be crying. The guy could be weeping. But in his heart of heart, you know what he's thinking? God, I don't regret my sin. In fact, as soon as I just set an alarm to remind myself to do it again in 7 minutes. So we don't know the guy is sincere. Maybe in his heart, says Achida, are 77 abominations. And he's like a guy who goes into the mikvah holding on to the tail of a rat. He's toivo v'sharetz biyadai. Therefore, the Sanhedrin or the Bezdin, they have to do what they have to do. They have to administer the punishment. But it is totally unreasonable to say that if a guy claims he did tshuva, he should be off the hook. It's impossible to know. You know what it's like? I'm going to teach you something, but it's really too late. Now, if you ever want to play hooky in school, what do you say? Teacher, I have a stomachache. Why? Because you can't prove whether they have a stomachache or not. What's the teacher? But the worst thing to do is, I think I have fever. So the teacher says, okay, let me take your temperature. You have 96.3, you know? You're freezing cold, you have no fever. So if you ever want to play hooky, never claim you have fever. Always say you have a stomachache. So that's like tshuva. If tshuva got you out of capital punishment, then every guy could say, I have a stomachache, I did tshuva. Not mistaber. Now, maybe someone could help me out. Let's see somebody on the shir over here. The Chida writes about 8 lines from the end, V'yesh lahargish al hagoin Rav Yecheskel b'sifrei habar sefer noy de Behuda. I think what the Chida is saying is that you could sort of be sensitive to the writings of the Noy de Behuda. I think what he means is he doesn't agree with the way the Noy de Behuda presented it, that it's not that a person cannot do tshuva for capital punishment. The Noy de Behuda says that it's a gzeiras hakosov, that tshuva doesn't work. That might be slightly different than the Chida is not saying it's a gzeiras hakosov that tshuva doesn't work. I think the Chida is saying it's not reasonable, it's not logical that tshuva should be able to get you off capital punishment, because this is something that's completely unprovable. You know, it's like if you want to start a religion, what do you do? By the way, if anybody has any hobbies of, you know, any contemplating starting a new religion, the best way to do it is to say, God came to me. But never say, God came to my whole shul, because everyone else is going to say in the shul, you're a meshugana. I don't remember God coming to me. So the best way to do it is you say, God came to me. This way nobody could prove he didn't come to you. The same thing, that's what the Chida is saying. If there's something called capital punishment, it's unreasonable to say that if you claim you did tshuva, that you get off the hook. But the way the Noy de Behuda phrases it is, it's a gezeras ha-kosuv, it's a heavenly decree that tshuva doesn't work, because if it worked, then everyone would claim it. Doesn't tshuva only help for Olam Haba? Well, we know that on Rosh Hashanah, a person is judged for this world, and it seems like in the Gemara that tshuva can help you get a better situation in this world. But Rabbi Yitz, hold on to that, because in the end of the share, I may want to present a similar idea. Let's go on to number 3. In the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsad, we know that there's a famous work of Halacha, the Aruch HaShulchan, written by Rabbi Michal Epstein, the great Aruch HaShulchan, but he also wrote something called Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, the Aruch HaShulchan of the future. This is the body of halacha of what will be observed when Mashiach comes. And the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid is dealing with the following questions. Question. Let's say somebody, could somebody be liable to a death penalty and lashes at the same time for the same sin? No, we know, we apply the rule, kim lebe d'rabbi minei. You can't be chayav capital punishment, death, and lashes. We darshan that from the pasuk of kedei rishasa. You can only be chayav for one rishus and not for two rishus. But we know that you could be chayav kares and malkos, meaning you could be chayav death through the hands of heaven and malkos. That, says Aruch HaShulchan Asid, is because if you get the malkos, you'll be exempt from the kares. But if you'd be chayiv malkus and misas bezdin, if you get the malkus, you'll still be chayiv the misas bezdin, and therefore you can't be chayiv both. The analogy is the same way: if you get malkus, you're pater from kares. So too, if you do tshuva, you're pater from kares. But if you do tshuva, you can't be pater from misas bezdin. You hear this? If somebody, let's say, violated a sin that is chayav kares, you could do tshuva and you could get it off. If somebody violated misas bezdin, then when the temple stood and there was a court, you could not get it off. Bizman hazeh, you could get it off. Bizman hazeh, if somebody does an avera with witnesses and is chayav to the death penalty, since we don't have Jewish court, you could get it off with tshuva. Very interesting, we're going to come to that soon. So our Chashulchan wants to know, why is it that you could do tshuva and get off a kares, and you can't do tshuva and get off misas bezdin? So Aruch HaShulchan says also a very similar svar. Are you ready for this? Because misas bezdin is a human institution. God cannot allow a human institution to be subjected by a process which a human being cannot determine whether it was performed or not. Since capital punishment, human punishment, is a human institution, God cannot make that subject to a process that is beyond human purview to determine whether it was accomplished or not. But kares is an institution of God, so God can make it dependent. If you do tshuva, then you won't get kares, and if you don't do tshuva, you will get kares. Again, that's very similar. We have three very similar answers. The Noid Behuda says it's just a heavenly decree that tshuva does not work against the capital punishment, because since there's a concept of capital punishment and God wants there to be capital punishment, He must have issued that in the face of tshuva, you still give capital punishment. The Chidah says a little bit differently. The Chidah says that no, it is impossible that tshuva is going to exempt you from capital punishment because Bezdin has no clue if you did tshuva or not. And the Aruch HaShulchan says it's completely unreasonable to say that tshuva will exempt you from capital punishment, because since capital punishment is a human institution, God would never make it subject to a process that's undeterminable. Comes the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer says something very interesting. He said, what would be if the temple stood and a guy is liable to capital punishment? And he rolled in the snow for a year and a half, and then he ran around Arum in front of every beehive he could find, and a wasp hive, and he got bitten and in front of grizzly bears and whatever he could imagine. And he got eaten by the Leviathan, and then he got gored by the Shar Habar, and then he did everything. But Lamaisa, two Eidim testify he was Mechalo Shabbos. What do we do to the guy? We stone him. So he says, what do you want from me? I already took every punishment in the world. And the guy volunteered in infectious disease hospital, and he contracted every bad machla. Doesn't matter. We still kill the guy. What about tshuva? No, tshuva doesn't work. What about Bizman Hazeh, if somebody's liable to capital punishment and he does tshuva? Does he get off whatever liability he may have had? Absolutely. Because Bizman Hazeh, capital punishment cannot be administered. But if there was a Sanhedrin, even if a guy did tshuva, but he will not get kapara until Bezdin is mekayim their mitzvah of Ritzichas Bezdin. When Bezdin has to administer capital punishment, it's a mitzvah. But the Chassam Sofer adds something very interesting. It could be that when the temple stood and we had a Sanhedrin, if somebody did do tshuva, God may orchestrate it that the Beis Din won't end up killing him. Maybe the Edim won't show up. Maybe the cop won't come in that day, you know, like with the parking tickets. Maybe the Edim won't show up. Maybe they'll contradict each other. Maybe the judges will find some fault in the testimony. So it could be, even though technically if you do tshuva, Beis Din will try to kill you, but the Lord may have it and orchestrate that you won't end up being killed because your tshuva perhaps was accepted in Shemayim. But again, that's God's business. That's not the business of the Beis Din. So I want to share with you an interesting approach. Last Shabbos, I was away for the first time since January, I think. And I was visiting my sister in Lakewood. And whenever I go away for Shabbos, I always like to look at the Svarim, you know. Maybe we'll have I'll have an interesting encounter with a good idea and I'll get a good shiur out of it. So I took out, a classic Sefer. Actually, the Sefer is a contemporary Sefer. I happen not to have it. It's a big voluminous, it's like six volumes, Chavatzelis HaSharon, it's on the computer. It's a contemporary Sefer of all the Lamdos on Chumash. And the Chavatzelis HaSharon brings down all of these Marim HaKoymos. And he clears the following Chakira, he has the following theoretical analysis, with which he comes through with a breakthrough to perhaps answer the question of Noid B'Yehuda. And that is, says the Chavatzelis HaSharon, what is the function of capital punishment? Why is there a concept in the Torah that if somebody violates certain sins, they're liable to capital punishment? What does capital punishment do? What would you say, Daniel Goldman? So Daniel Goldman would say, oh, that one way of looking at it, Azriel likes it when I call on his brother, that Azriel smiling, I could see it under the mask, that one way of saying it is, God wants a person to have kapara, God wants a person to have atonement. And Hashem doesn't want a person to leave this world without atonement. So since if someone desecrates the Shabbos, God is doing him a favor. He says, we're going to throw you off a two-story building, we're going to throw stones at you, this way you go up to Shemayim clean. The purpose of Misa, perhaps, is kapara. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is, no, it's not to get kapara. God didn't say we kill somebody for him to get atonement. You know why God said we kill someone? Because he did something wrong. There's something called punishment. The repercussions. If you do something wrong, you get punished. There's an added cherry on top that when we administer the punishment, the person will get atonement, but the purpose is not to give the person atonement. The function is to punish the person. Maybe as a deterrent to someone else, maybe as a deterrent to him, but not so he should have atonement. It happens to be, once we give him punishment, he will get atonement, but that's not the reason why we punish him. It's a very interesting chakira, right, Israel? Is the purpose to give the person atonement? Or is the purpose, he deserves punishment, or he has earned punishment, and we give it to him. And once he's punished, he happens to get atonement. Says the Chavatzelis HaSharon, it is more reasonable to say that the purpose of Misas Beis Din is not to give atonement. The purpose is to punish. It happens to be, once you give the punishment, the person will get atonement. But the atonement is between him and God. It has nothing to do with the Beis Din. Beis Din is not trying to give someone atonement. So you'll ask, oh, the Rebbe that asks, but once the guy did tshuva, so he doesn't need atonement. Okay, you're right. He doesn't need atonement. But we're not killing him to give him atonement. We're killing him because when you desecrate Shabbos in front of two witnesses, you get killed, period. Not to get atonement for what you did. That's just the repercussion of what you did. In other words, when you stick your finger in an outlet, you get an electric shock. And when you desecrate the Shabbos in front of two witnesses, the Beis Din will kill you. I did tshuva, great, so you don't need our atonement. But you're going to get punished anyway, because this is the absolute repercussion. In other words, if the function of Misas Bezdin is to bring atonement, then the Noid B'Yehuda has a Gevaldig Akasha, that once the person did tshuva and he repented, he doesn't need atonement anymore. So then why are we still killing him? The answer, says the Chavetz HaSharon, is we're not killing someone to give him kapara. We're killing him because he has deserved and earned punishment. It happens to be, when someone gets punished, that is an atonement. This guy doesn't need the atonement. So what? He still has earned the oynesh. Haga ba'atzmecha. We know that when anybody is given the Misas Bezdin, what do we tell them to do? To confess, to say vidoy, and we tell them anyone who confesses will be forgiven. Kol ha'mumasin misvadim sanhedrin mem gimel amud beis. Let's say the guy says, I don't want to. Ha ha ha. Make me say vidoy. I'm not going to do it. I'll say the Constitution. I'll pledge allegiance to the United States. I'll sing V'samachta v'chagecha. I'll do whatever you want. I will not say vidoy. So then what? We don't kill him? Oh, now we know we do kill him. But why would we kill him? He's not getting atonement in that Misa. Clearly, when we're killing someone, it's not to give the person kapara. We're killing the person because that is the punishment that he has incurred. So that is a fourth possibility. In other words, number one is it's Gzeiras HaKosov. Tshuva does not work in the face of Misas Bezdin. Number two, the Chida says that since Bezdin has absolutely no idea if you did tshuva, it cannot work. Number three, the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid says that it's totally illogical tshuva should work, because since Misas Bezdin is a human institution, it cannot be subjected to a procedure that a human being cannot determine. And finally, the Chavetz HaSharon says the reason why tshuva doesn't work is because we don't punish someone to give them kapara, we punish them because they have to be punished. And of course, you know, I have to offer something extra. Otherwise, Ira is going to say, well, what do you do, Rabbi? You just quoted the Noid B'Yehuda and the Chida and the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid and the Chavetz HaSharon. But what did you add? So I'm going to suggest an interesting possibility, perhaps a novel possibility, to address this question. And you'll think about it over Shabbos. You'll bring it back to your shuls, to your people, and let my people know what your people say. Okay, so there's an interesting Yishalmi. The Yishalmi says that on the Pasuk in Tehillim, God is good, God is just, therefore He teaches us to do tshuva. What is the meaning of this? Says the Gemara, says the Yishalmi, they asked wisdom, what should be the fate of somebody who does an Avera? What should happen to him? This is a famous Yishalmi, and the Yishalmi says, Chatoim Tirdoif Ra'a. They should be pursued with evil. The sinner should be pursued by evil. In other words, they should die. Then they asked prophets and prophecy, what should be with the sinner? And they said, the soul of the sinner should die. And then they asked God, what should be the repercussion of the sinner and the punishment of the sinner? And God said, they should do tshuva. This is what it means. God is good and just, and therefore He instructs the sinners to do tshuva. What do we learn from this Yishalmi? That if you ask chachma, if you ask reason and logic, what should be the fate of someone who sins? Logic dictates the person should die. Can't do tshuva. Imagine you would come to a judge, and the judge says, pal, why do you speed? He says, judge, I cannot tell a lie. I sped, but I'm sorry, and I won't do it again. Do you know any judge that will let you off the hook? No. Maybe in traffic court if you pay him off enough. But legally, you can't get off any kind of infraction because you're sorry. The judge will say, you bet you're sorry because we're going to put you behind bars and of course you'll never do it again. So you mean you're sorry? Sorry doesn't work in the real world. Logic dictates that you should not be able to do tshuva. They asked the prophets. The prophets said, in our vision of prophecy, we do not see a world where repentance makes sense. In the Medrash adds one nekuda to this. They asked wisdom, what does wisdom dictate about the fate of a sinner? And wisdom said he should die. They asked the prophets, what should happen to the sinner? The prophet said that he should die. They asked the holy Torah, what should be the fate of someone who does an Avera? And the Torah said he should bring a carbon. But even the Torah never dreamt that you could rob, kill, commit adultery, and then say, oh, I'm sorry, and feel bad about it, and say, I won't do it again, and you could wipe it clean. I mean, what aspect of this world works that way? So you could ask wisdom, you could ask prophets, you could ask the Torah. The Medrash ends, and they asked God, what is the fate of a sinner? And God said he could do tshuva. Can we suggest the following very novel suggestion? We're taking somebody out to be killed because he desecrated the Shabbos. And the guy says, what do you mean? I did tshuva. And Bezin said, you did what? Yeah, I did repentance. Bezin says, what's that? Yeah, I felt bad about what I did. Okay. And I won't do it again. Okay. Yeah, but you did it. And you need to be punished. Yeah, but there's a phenomenon of tshuva. And you know what Bezin's going to say? No, there isn't. There's no such thing as tshuva. If you ask wisdom, wisdom says that there is no way to rectify. If you ask prophets, they say there's no way to rectify. You ask the Torah, there's no way to rectify. The only being who acknowledges tshuva is God. So Bezdin said, look, when you die, you go to God, and when God wants to punish you, you'll tell him that you did tshuva, and God will let you off the hook, but that's between you and him. Repentance is only a special VIP relationship and deal and gift between man and God, but in no way does it affect any affairs in this world. In other words, I'll give you a mashal. Okay, but take it with a grain of salt. You're looking for a shidduch for your daughter. So they put on the shidduch resume. The guy committed 50 murders, 70 adulteries, and 90, but he did tshuva. So and after all, the Gemara says, "B'makom shabalei tshuva imdem ein tzadikim gemurim michaylim lamaid." So you're gonna go for it, or you're not gonna go for it? Doubtful, right? What do you mean? You don't believe in tshuva? I believe God forgives the person completely, but that's between him and God. But in this world, Bezdin cannot deal with tshuva. It's a little bit of a different nuance than some of the other mepharshim were saying, and I cannot tell you that it's right. It's just a thought. That is it possible that the gift and the matana and the chesed of tshuva is very, very personal? It's between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. To the extent that in no way in the earthly affairs of man does it really have ramification. So on the one hand, it's a little bit demoralizing. Really, tshuva doesn't really work. But on the other hand, it's very exhilarating. Because when you think of how illogical tshuva is, and how even chachma, wisdom, does not really understand how it could operate, and even the Torah itself does not acknowledge it, but it's really such a special chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because in any other sphere, it cannot even be reckoned with. Could it be that we know the Gemara tells us in Yuma, Gedoyla tshuva shemagasad kisei hakavod, tshuva is great, it reaches the throne of glory. So I always wondered, why does it need to reach the throne of glory? I mean, did you ever hear that tefillah is great, that it reaches the throne of glory, or Torah is great? We don't say that. That's maybe because they don't have to reach the throne of glory. They are such a power, and they're such an understanding of what they accomplish, that even here in this world, God allows it to be realized, the benefits of it, and the recognition of its accomplishment. But the only place in the world that tshuva could be recognized and acknowledged is all the way up there by the Kisei HaKavod. Because everywhere else, Chachma says, I don't get it. And Nevuah says, no, it doesn't make sense to me. In other words, maybe there's an idea that tshuva is so incomprehensible. That is why when Menashe was doing tshuva, he had to like dig a tunnel under the Kisei HaKavod. Otherwise, the Malacha would have said, get out of here. It doesn't make any sense. This is not a reasonable program. And therefore, I'm not sure if there's going to be a shir on Parsha Shoftim, so let me end off with something on Parsha Shoftim. There's a pasuk in next week's Parsha as follows, the last Maramakim on the sheet, Al Pishnayim, Based on the testimony of two or three witnesses, the dead will die. He will not die based on the testimony of one person, right? This is a famous pasuk, that if you have one witness or if you have two witnesses or three witnesses, you could kill someone, but you cannot kill someone based on the testimony of one witness. So in the Sefer Ma'ayanah Shel Torah, he brings down a gorgeous vart. Based on the testimony of two witnesses. Who are the two witnesses? Chachma, wisdom, Nevuah, and prophecy. These two witnesses say, if someone sins, they have to die. Even based on the testimony of the third witness, the person has to die. Who's the third witness? The Torah. Apishnayim Edim, based on the testimony of two witnesses, wisdom and prophecy. Oishloisha Edim, or even a third witness, Torah, someone who sins has to die. Lo yumas al pied echad. But the one witness, who's the one witness? The Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam says that if somebody does a sin, they don't have to die. What could they do? They could do tshuva. But according to the two witnesses, wisdom and prophecy, they say, as far as we're concerned, this person got to go. Now, in the Beis Din, who's paskening? Not the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's wisdom. It's chachma. It's Torah. So there's no room for tshuva. Tshuva doesn't work. Chachma says there's no such thing as tshuva. Torah says there's no such thing as tshuva. When you go upstairs, between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, tshuva wipes away everything. But in earthly affairs, it cannot work. It's such a gift, lemala min hasecha, that perhaps in human endeavors and the human arena, it does not have ramification. That's just a suggestion. But as we said, we offer tonight five different angles of looking at this. It's a very interesting question. Thank you everyone for listening. And have a great evening. Shkayach. You know, just an added point is that, you know, what does this shir have to do with this week's parsha? The pasuk says in Re'ehu, V'yarta hara mikirbecha, that when you administer capital punishment, you abolish the evil. Somehow, meaning, perhaps there's an idea, you know, that when a person commits a capital punishment, so he sinned against God, but there's also some kind of wrong that he committed in society. And that maybe like a Chil Hashem, and that can only be repaired with Misa. In other words, there are a number of dimensions of the Misa, whether it's a kapara, whether it's a deterrent, whether it's something that has to be eradicated in society. And all of these things, even if a person did tshuva, they may not take care of the need to continue on with the Mishpat of Beis Din. All right?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.